Good morning. Today's daf in Gittin Lamed Hey. We are starting on the Mishnah Lamed Dalamud Beis. We are here in the fourth parak of the Masechta, and we're discussing various takanas that were made by the Chachamim. Problems that needed to be solved, and so we are going to be in the world of problem solving. So it's very good. It's the fourth parak, fifth parak, a lot of Tikkun Olam. Okay, so a lot of institutions, rabbinic institutions. All this was prompted by a takana that we learned at the beginning of the parak, Rabbi Gamliel, back on Daf Lamed Beis when we opened up the fourth parak. So we had a problem and we arrived at a solution. You recall, Shaleich Get. So a person sending a Get, and prior to Rabbi Gamliel, a person could be Mavatal HaGet, can nullify the divorce, and even not in person, and can do so from distance, right? You think distance learning and distance communication is a modern phenomenon? It kind of is, but you could be mevatel get even from a distance, and you don't have to be there live and in person, and it creates a lot of problems. So therefore, because it creates a lot of problems, so a takana was made, an institution, something that would remedy, and that's Rabbi Gamliel at the beginning. Rabbi Gamliel said that you can't do it, you can't be mevatel again unless you're there in person, either intercepting the shlich or intercepting the woman prior to her receiving the get. That is what we learned on Daf Lamed Beis, and now an assortment of Mishnayos coming up. These are going to be very fundamental Mishnayos, introducing us to various takanas that were made by the Chachamim. And without further ado, let's begin. Ein aman nifrens menichsei yisamim ela b'shvua. As far as an aman is concerned, so she's a widow, she's entitled to her ksuva, and the halach is that she cannot collect her ksuva without a shvua. Now, why is that? So in a moment, we're going to see together the Gemara that's very simple. And that is that whenever any creditor comes and collects from the estate, so you have to make a shvua, because what do the kids know? In other words, the kids got an estate. They don't know what dad did. They don't know what he paid, what he didn't pay. Maybe there were outstanding obligations. Maybe he partially paid his outstanding obligations. The kids have no idea. And so therefore, as a way of protecting the estate, so any creditor who's going to come and collect from the estate has to make a shvua. And when I say any creditor, I'm including even mom. Okay? Now, that's a rough statement, but when you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Meaning, mom also is a creditor. In other words, she's now entitled to her ksuva. The ksuva now, with the husband died, obviously she's coming after the estate for her ksuva, so she's also now going to be one of the creditors who are going to be collecting from the estate, and she's going to have to make a shvua. Now, here's the problem. The problem is that women, and for that matter, people in general, were scared making a shvua. Well, it's kind of the point. Meaning you want people to be scared making a shvua because you want them to tell the truth. But the problem, of course, is that now you're putting these widows in a position in which they're unable to collect their ksuva because they are so scared of shvuas and they're so ready to refrain from making a shvua, giving them the inability to collect their ksuva. That's a problem. What's the solution? That's what we're learning together. So nimnu malashbiya hiskin rabbi gamliel azakin shetein odelsi yisam kamashi yirtsu vigov ksuvasa. So therefore, Rabbi Gamliel made a takana, and the takana over here is, listen, you don't want to make a shvua, I understand. Make a neder. And it's clear from our Gemara, meaning you'll see this a couple of times in the course of today's daf, that although people were definitely resistant to making shvuas, afraid to make a shvua, but when it comes to a neder, they were more open to making a neder. Now, a neder will basically sound something like this. If I benefited at all from the ksuva, if I've received any kind of partial payment or full payment from the ksuva, so then all the fruit in the world are going to be asur to me. Something along those lines. In other words, so the takana was, is that, look, you won't make a shvua, but make a neder. And women were more apt to making a neder. That's takana number one. Next point of the Mishnah, and that is that witnesses are signing on a get, and that's tikkun olam. We're going to discuss that, not today's daf. We'll discuss it in an upcoming daf, I think tomorrow. And finally, number three, Hillel hiskin prizbal mimnei tikkun olam. And Hillel is mesakin prizbal. Okay, and that's tomorrow's daf. Tomorrow's daf, we're going to be talking about prizbal. I think I promoted tomorrow's daf already a number of times. Why not? We're here one day away from tomorrow's daf. I'm promoting it again. Right? Tomorrow's daf happens to be one of the most fundamental dafim regarding takanas Beis Din, Hefker, Beis Din, Hefker. That's all coming up in tomorrow's daf. Tomorrow we're going to discuss prizbal in much greater detail. Today, however, we're going to be focused on one topic and one topic only, and that's going to be the opening takana of our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we learned that a widow was unable to collect her ksuva because she needed to make a shvua. She was resistant. She was afraid to make a shvua. Therefore, she wasn't able to collect her ksuva. Rabbi Gamliel said, okay, here's the takana. You don't have to make a shvua. You can make a neder. Okay. That's what we learned in our Mishnah and a lot of discussion regarding our Mishnah. The first takana of the Mishnah. So my year yaman afil kula amaname da kai malan habali par minichsei some li par lebeshua. The Gemara asks the question, why is this an amana discussion? Isn't this true by every creditor? So no, the Gemara says amana yitzarichle. So the Gemara says no, an amana is necessary, meaning we're highlighting almana, even though it's true by any and every creditor. They have to make a shvuah before they collect from the estate. Because salkadat chamina mishum china kila rabban and gaba kamash malan. Here's what I would have thought. I would have thought that it's true. Every creditor has to go and make a shvuah before collecting from the estate. But I might have thought, had it not been for a mishnah, that the widow is going to get a pass. Why is the widow going to get a pass? Why won't she have to make a shvuah? Mishum china, because of chain. Okay. Now, this is a really big topic. I'm going to simplify. I'm going to streamline this discussion. And that is, what is chayn? Chayn literally means favor, grace, right? Basically, to make it more attractive. I'll present it today like Rashi and only like Rashi. And that is that what are we making attractive? Marriage to women. Meaning, we want the institution of marriage to be more attractive to women. So, women want to get married. The Gemara says that in numerous places. And aside from the Gemara saying it, right? It's empirically true. But at the same time, however, back in the good old days, marriage was a form of protection for the woman. In other words, the husband's going to provide for the wife. And what happens now in the event where a woman now gets divorced and she has no resources. She has no funds. She has nothing. So it makes marriage less attractive. So the Chachamim a number of times made a number of institutions, ksuva, by the way, just being one of the basics, regarding just simply making marriage more attractive to women. Imagine for just a moment. Right, we're hearing stories now about a woman becoming a widow, unable to collect her ksuva. Well, that's terrible. And as far as the women are concerned, why would they want to get married if God forbid they're in a position of being a widow and they're unable to collect her ksuva? It makes marriage less attractive. To make marriage more attractive to women, so therefore numerous takanas were made. I would have thought, this is a havamin of the Gemara, I would have thought that maybe one of the takanas that were made to make marriage more attractive is just simply to waive a shvua. When a woman becomes a widow and now she wants to collect her ksuva from the estate, so waive the shvua so she can collect her ksuva. That's the havamina. The Gemara says that's what the Mishnah is coming to teach us. That, in other words, as far as the widow is concerned, vis-a-vis her ksuva, we're going to treat her like every other creditor. Every other creditor needs to make a shvua when collecting from the estate. Same thing is going to be true regarding the widow as well. Nimnu melashbi amaitaima. So ilay mishum derav kahana dam rav kahana v'am rilam rav yun am rav ma'isa ba'ad amecha b'shnei betzoris. Okay, so women wouldn't make a shvua in order to collect. Meaning that we're just going over the problem of the Mishnah. Why weren't women ready to make a shvua? So the Gemara says maybe because of the following episode, which again, it's episodic. So, but the Gemara numerous times uses an episode to describe what is the general feeling. So over here, there was a year of famine. It was Shnei Betzaras. Shehivke dinar zav etzal amanavihin nechta bekad shel kemach. What happened was is that a person entrusted a coin to be watched by a widow. So she was a shomer or shomeret. And and what did she do? She put it in her flower pot. Okay, in other words, for safekeeping. She put it with her flower. And va'afta papas. And so unisanaso la'ani. And she forgot. In other words, she for safekeeping, she put it with her flower. She forgot it was there. She went to bake bread for an ani. She gave it to the ani. And having forgotten that the coin was there, that she was entrusted to watch, and now she sent the coin with the bread to the ani. Again, all this was an accident on her part. And now comes the owner of the coin and says, okay, thank you so much for washing it for me, and do me a small favor. Could you now return it to me? So Amra le, she looked for it, she couldn't find it. And now she feels terrible, but more importantly, now the financial liability. She was asked to watch it, she no longer has it. So let's say, the Gemara doesn't give us these details of what kind of Shomer she was. Okay, just for argument's sake, let's say she was a Shomer Chinam. Shomer Chinam is now going to be Pater from Geneva, Nevada. She lost it. Okay, but in other words, but she now is just simply going to be, she is making a Shvuah currently that she didn't get benefit from the coin. Now, again, it was her own, let's call it negligence, in terms of her baking that coin into the bread and giving it to the ani. Again, it was a mistake, but, okay, mistake, negligence, whatever the proper terminology is, she legitimately thinks that she got no benefit from it. So now the Shvuah was, is that one of my children should die if I got any benefit from the coin. And Rachmanus, that was the Shvuah she made. One of her children died. Now the Chachamim were taken aback by the story, perfectly understandably. Meaning that over here, she made a Shvuah that was true. Now, in a moment, the Gemara is going to push back on that. But she made it. She made a Shvuah that was true. Imagine, just wait, give it a second. The Gemara is going to clarify. She made a Shvuah that was true. And imagine if somebody made a Shvuah l'sheker, imagine what the consequences would be. So my time, Iansha. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. Why was she punished? So the Ishtar Shaba Makam Dinar. So she did get Hana from the coin. What Hana did she get from the coin? So it's going to be really nominal. But she got a little bit of Hana. In that, what happened was, is that she was giving of her flour to bake for the bread, for the ani. Okay. That coin now occupied whatever its volume is of flour. So the amount of area or volume that that coin occupied, so she benefited from that much flour. Because that's the flour that she would have had to put in had the coin not been there. That's really nominal. That's the amount of benefit she received. And since she received benefit, and the Shvuah was, she didn't receive benefit. So she was punished. So the Gemara says, so umay min shenishba be'emes. So the Gemara says, so then I'm taken aback by the language over here of the Braisa. It's a Braisa, it's a Memra, either way. So I'm taken aback by the language, because the language says that she made a Shvuah that was true. We just went over together, it's not true. She did get benefit. So kimi shenishba be'emes. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. So we'll tweak it a little bit. In other words, it's commissionish baba emes. Meaning again, in her mind, in her view, she didn't know that the coin was there in the flour. So she didn't think she got benefit. So when she made the Shvuah, from her perspective, I literally got no benefit from it. I'm sorry, I don't know where it is, but I didn't get any benefit from it. Now, we know she did get a little bit of benefit from it. And for that nominal benefit that she received, so therefore the Shvuah took place.
No, but the oath that she took could have been a simple oath saying, I didn't do anything. But she cast a curse upon herself.
Because yes.
Based on that, why would they scrap this whole thing with people taking an oath? She's just taking a simple oath and been done.
Without the ramifications, without the klala.
She went the extra mile without anybody asking her.
Correct.
To.
Okay, fair point. It's a very fair point.
Yaakov and Rachel.
Okay, fine. Okay, it's all very fair. So, imishamha ma'ir yamana. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's what I'm not understanding. So the Gemara says, so, if the issue is that the devastation of a Shvuah, and because of this story, and again, it's anecdotal, but still, what it speaks to is the larger issue of women are going to refrain from making a Shvuah. And because of the consequences, the dire consequences of the Shvuah. So the Gemara says, if that's true, so then why are we harping over here on the amana? I feel a grushanami. So the same thing should be true with a grusha. Now maybe you'll think, well, maybe the same thing is true regarding a grusha. The Gemara says, huh?
He's alive.
So. Oh, okay, fine. So Amam Rabbi Zera Mishmo Lo Shano Alamana Avah Grusha Mashbinosa. So the Gemara says that's only true regarding the amana, but when it comes to a grusha mashbinosa, now we're going to have her make a shvuah. Now David's point, by the way, okay, he said it, and I'm going to give voice to it as well, and that is, it's a little bit stranger to understand this entire discussion regarding the grusha as opposed to the amana. With the amana, she's collecting from the estate. You can only collect from the estate with a shvuah. That's the rule. We just went over it. When it comes to the grusha, he's alive and well. Okay, and she's entitled to a ksuva. So over here, the assumption, of course, is that she has to make a shvuah. It's a little bit difficult to understand.
Maybe he died after he divorced her.
Well, it could be that, right, it's grusha, and then she's collecting from the estate. It doesn't sound that way from the Gemara. What it sounds like from the Gemara is that she's collecting it. So it probably speaks to the fact that sometimes there were prepayments in terms of iksuva, okay? And she has to, and in order to make sure that she didn't receive, she didn't collect any kind of prepayment, so therefore she has to make a shvuah. Anyway, so the Gemara now wants to know, so why is it that this halacha, that you need to make a shvuah, and the amana is going to be resistant to making a shvuah, so why should that be? So or why are we not allowing the amana to make a shvuah? So amana shani de bihana de katarcha kamidias me asyalu reatera. So the Gemara here speaks to a psychological insight, and that's the following, and that is the power of justification and rationalization. Okay? This almana, aside from the fact that she lost her husband, which is devastating enough, but she's also got the kids to take care of. Now, when I say kids, by the way, they're hers. They don't have to be. In other words, it could be that this is now a second marriage and this could be stepchildren as well. But regardless, the point is that she's right now, she's taking care of the kids. And so she is a widow. She's taking care of the kids. So, and now she's in a position. She's in a really strong position where she could rationalize. Look, I know I already received some of my ksuva, but the truth of the matter is that I'm working really hard. And you know what? I can ignore that. In other words, it's not right. In other words, I collected part of my ksuva. I'm going to ask for that again. Yeah, but look how hard I'm working. And so we could just simply, we could write that off as magiali. I'm entitled. We'll call it a salary. She's in a position where she can easily justify whatever money she's received and basically demand the entire ksuva in its full balance, even though she received some of it. And so since she's in a position where she could strongly justify her actions, so the Chachamim said the only way you can go ahead and collect the balance of your ksuva is al yidei shvua. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Rav Shmuel d'Amar Tavar lo shana lo beis din. Avachus le beis din, mashmin osah. So the Gemara says like this. Okay, we're going to make a distinction regarding a shvua in beis din versus a shvua outside of beis din. Okay. We will not allow an almana to collect her ksuva via a shvua. Why not? We just learned together because she can easily justify whatever money she received already. She can easily say, "Look, I'm still going to demand more." Okay, because she's in a position of rationalization. We just went over that. Now the Gemara says the distinctions to be made regarding a shvua in court versus a shvua outside of court. The only time that we are not going to be allowing her to make a shvua is going to be in court, but an out of court shvua that will allow her to make. What's the difference between in court shvua versus out court shvua? So Rashi over here describes a shvua that's made in Beis Din. So such a shvua, so that's the real deal. In other words, Rashi describes she's holding a Sefer Torah. She's not only that, but she's accepting a klala upon herself. Rashi writes, "Sheshvua sadiyanim shel Torah hi v'naket Sefer biyadei otfilin." So she's holding a dvar mitzvah. Umashbiala b'shemo b'kinu. She's using Shem Hashem. So kedash kacham ba'avim simna yadcha v'ashbiech ba'Hashem v'onsha meruba. And so therefore, really serious, with really serious consequences. Now, chutz le beis din, Rashi writes, shvua de rabbanan beklalas ara, velo nakit midi, v'inon shenal kach. So the shvua that's made outside of beis din, not as devastating, not as severe, not as punishable. And therefore, Rav and Shmuel both say that the only shvua that we're not going to have her make is the shvua in court. But not, of course, shvua will allow her to make. So the Gemara says, ini v'harav lo mag b'ksuva lar melasa. Now the Gemara says, now, I'm a little bit confused because I also know Rav's policy. Rav's policy is that he would not collect a ksuva for an almana. I know that's a striking comment in today's daf, right? It's gonna be hard to sugarcoat it. There's no sugarcoating over here. So but Rav as a policy would not allow for an almana to collect a ksuva. So the Gemara says kasha. Okay, the Gemara says that's difficult. Meaning, what Rav did is that he qualified the Mishnah, a woman cannot collect her ksuva with a shvua, and Rav said that's only a shvua in court, but a shvua out of court, she would be able to collect, and it's difficult in the face of Rav's own policy regarding he would not allow for the collection of a ksuva for an almana. So, Besura Masnahachi, Benarda Masnahachi. Now, in Surah, they learned the way we just presented it, which led to a kasha. Meaning, on one hand, Rav's distinction in the Mishnah, on the other hand, Rav's policy. And the two don't agree with each other. But Benarda must know Hachi, but Naharda, they learned it a little bit differently, and therefore was a little bit easier in terms of learning. So, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Lo Shana Lo Bebeisin, Ava Chutz Bebeisin, Mashmin Oso, V'Rav Amar Afilu Chutz Bebeisin, Nami In Mashmin Oso, Rav Latamid, Rav Lamag, B'Ksuva L'Amar Lasa. Okay. So in this version now, it's smoother. In other words, Rav's policy never changes, but it's smoother because now, Shmuel was the one who made a distinction between an in-court shvua versus an out-of-court shvua. Fine. Rav made no such distinction. And now this is consistent with Rav's viewpoint that Rav would never collect a ksuva for an almana. Now, v'le'adra v'le'gbe. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. How could that be? How can Rav not allow for the collection of a ksuva and almana? Right? Aside from how jarring that is. But aside from that, meaning, just go back to our Mishnah. Meaning, our mission recognized the problem. The problem is that, right, for the almana to collect, she has to make a shvua. The almana would not make a shvua. And so Rabbi Gamliel said, I have the solution. Rabbi Gamliel obviously predated Rav. The takana of Rabbi Gamliel is, don't have her make a shvua, but rather have her make a neder. Okay. That was the solution. So now we are generations later, a couple generations later, and now we're in the court of Rav. So the Gemara's question here is really simple. Good. So Rav won't allow her to make a shvua, but then have her make a neder. So Bishnei de Rav, Kili Nidre. So the Gemara says, well, during the years of Rav, so people were flippant about making a neder. So in other words, the whole purpose of making a shvua, the whole purpose of making a neder is to keep people honest, is to make sure that their claims are backed by a shvua, a neder. Okay, so shvua became problematic. People wouldn't make a shvua. It didn't allow for the collection. So okay, fine. So the Mishnah said make a neder.
Neder is an object.
Right. So the so neder, the neder would sound like if I took any of my ksuva, so then all the fruit of the world should be yesterday. Uh-huh. That's what the neder would sound like. But the Gemara says, but during the generation of Rav, so people were flippant about nedarim as well. Didn't take it seriously. The whole objective of making a neder is to keep her in check and make sure she's being honest, and it no longer served its purpose during the years of Rav. So a widow went over to Rav Huna, went to the court of Rav Huna. She wanted a ksuva, and Rav Huna said, sorry, I can't help you. I'm a Talmud of Rav. Rav did not allow for the collection of ksuva. I'm not ready to change policy. So Amrle midi hitama ela delma nikita midi miksuvasi. Chai Hashem tzvakosim neinesi miksuvasi klom. So this woman over here, obviously a learned woman. So she said, okay, I know what the issue is. The issue is you're concerned that I collected part of my ksuva. She then preempted. She made a shvua without being asked, unsolicited, that she didn't collect any of her ksuva. So I'm Rav Huna, mo de Rav Bekofetza. So Rav Huna said, you unlock the key. In other words, you unlock the lock. So that Rav would agree, Kofetza, that if she goes ahead and she jumps and she unsolicited makes a shvua, so that's fine. Now we know, in other words, she made the shvua. We wouldn't have demanded the shvua from her, but now that she made the shvua that she didn't collect from her ksuva, now we know that she didn't collect from her ksuva, and now she's entitled to her ksuva. Haida Salakama de Rav Abba Rav Huna. We're going to go with another case study. So a woman goes to Rav Abba Rav Huna, Amar La, Amay Avalach, de Rav Lomag, Ksuva Lamar Lassa. So it seems to be now that we're two generations later. So this policy of Rav lasted for some time. And he said, I'm really sorry. We just simply cannot find an avenue to allow an amana to collect suva. So, Abamari lo magbik suva salam alasa. My father, Abamari. So he didn't allow for the collection of suva. So Amrle havli mizone. So she says, okay, I understand. Right? That's a tough pill to swallow, but I understand. Okay, but at least now, so let me allow me for the mizonos. When a woman gets widowed, so she's entitled to mizonos, support coming from the estate. So Amar la mizonin amilei slach. So he says, look, I'm really sorry, but I can't have you have mizonos as well. Amar Ravida Amar Shmuel hatovas ksuvas abevizin in la mizonos. Once you demand your ksuva, you're no longer entitled for mizonos. Okay, so Rashi points out over here, this is going to be based on the language of the ksuva. If you look carefully at the language of the ksuva, the language writes, right, I know this is contract law, but that's what we do when we learn ksuvas. I know we're learning Gittin right now, but this is a function of the ksuva. So in the ksuva it says that, and I'm not quoting directly. Rashi over here does, but just for purposes of explanation, the ksuva says that you're going to be entitled to support all while you are an amana in your late husband's home. As long as you're a member of the estate, again, this is my loose translation. As long as you're a member of the estate, so you're entitled to mizonos. Once you are opting out, asking, demanding your ksuva is now opting out. So that's it. The mizonos gets cut off. So now she just got now two strikes against her. In other words, she asked for the ksuva. I'm really sorry. Policy is we can't do that. She asked for a continuation of the mizonos. Well, you asked for your ksuva and you can no longer receive mizonos. I know. These are now not one, but two tough pills to swallow. I understand. So atova ksuva bevezin ein lamizonos. Amr le achvua la korsei. Kebetre avadatali. Totally understandably, her reaction is that your chair should be overturned. Okay, now we don't understand these types of klalos because we don't speak in these types of klalos, but She just gave him a serious curse. Your chair should be flipped over. I don't know how to translate that in terms of what that means practically. It's bad. Okay? That's what she told him. In other words, and you basically you slapped me both sides. In other words, you didn't allow for the payment of my ksuva and you stopped my mizonos. Understandably, she was really upset. So havchula karse v'tartzua. Now the students quickly took his chair and they turned it upside down. Now, that's not what she meant when she said your chair should flip over. She meant something else. I don't know what she meant, but in other words, it was really bad.
It wasn't good.
But what the students did is that the students thought that if we flip the physical chair over, fulfilled maybe that. That'll be a manifestation of her curse. Maybe. So, v'afilo hachilo ifrik mechulsha. And the Gemara says, and still, the curse took place and he got sick. That's all the details we have regarding the story. I know that's a fascinating story and it's a sad story. I know. But in other words, we're given no more details on the story. So, Amalei Rav Yehuda Rav Yirmiyah Bira Adra Beveistin V'Ashba Chutz Beveistin V'Leisi Kala V'Lipo Be'udne. Okay, so Rav Yehuda says to Rav Yirmiyah Bira, here's what I want you to do. I want you to start issuing this psak, and I want to hear that people are saying it over. Right? Adra Beveistin, either make a Nedron Beveistin or make a Shua Chutz Beveistin and Leisi Kala V'Lipo Be'udne. And I wanted to go out, and I wanted to hear again. Meaning, I want feedback that people are following this psak. Okay. In other words, then obviously what he's doing over here is he's taking issue with Rav. Rav's policy and the Talmidim of Rav would not collect suva for an almana, and now Rav Yehuda over here says no. We want the almana to collect suva, and there are two ways to do it: either make a neder as per what we learned in our Mishnah, alternatively make a shvua outside of Beis Din. Which, according to Shmuel and one version of Rav, that would work. Okay, that we're allowed to do.
There's other keys of Shmuel, you know, one of the mixas, et cetera, et cetera. Do we ever have this concept elsewhere of Shmuel outside of Bezdin?
I don't know. I don't know.
It's a rabbinic, no?
I mean, it's a way, it's a means for her to collect, but right? Fair question. I don't know. Okay. Gufa Amar Rabbi Zera Amar Shmuel Lo Shanu Ela Amana Ava Grusha Mashminosa. So let's go back to a comment made by Rebbe Zera in the name of Shmuel, and that is that the only time that we would not allow for a shvua was by an almana, but for a grusha we would allow. So grusha da adrolo. So the Gemara says, and now you're telling me that we won't allow for a neder by a grusha. V'hashach mitam eich polnisa bas ploni kibal tegita minyada da acha bar hidya. Okay. You'll see me struggle with these, you know, old names. But anyway, Dimitkari Ayamari. So a woman received a get from a man. His name was Achabar Hidya. Some people called him Ayamari. Anyway, Vinadarta Vasra Perisha Ba'olam Allah, the low Kaba Maksuvasa, Elagluvkara Echad Vesefatilam Echad Vesefer Yovam Memshaz Baluin. Now, she's a Grusha. And she is now making the following neder. And again, the neder like we described earlier. Right, she's going to ask her all the fruit in the world upon her if she received any of her ksuva already. Now, in this neder, she admitted she did receive a little bit. But she over here, she outlines, she details, she itemizes exactly all the things that she received. What did she receive already? So, gluf garechat, she got a coat. Right? Rashi actually uses the word coat. Okay, good. Right? Some of Rashi's old French I understand, most of it I don't. Okay, here I happen to gotten one. So the and she received a Tehillim, Eov, and Mem Shalos, I'm assuming is Mishle. Okay, and Rashi says it, so I don't have to assume. I could just read Rashi. Anyway, she got the Sifrei Emes, right? In other words, the Sfarim Ksuvim. So a mnemonic to help you remember the first three Sfarim of Mishle is Sifrei Emes, right? Aleph, Mem, Tav. Right, Eov, Mishle, Tehillim. Okay, anyway, so, and Balum, and they happen to have been worn out. Okay, and I'd like to think because she used them all the time. Irregardless, Vishamnum Bechamisha Mana, they appraised that which she received, it was 50 mana, Lechashadavoli Adchem Igbu Sashar, and then when she comes to you, allow her to collect now the balance of her ksuva. Okay, so. We are a little bit bothered. Why? Because what did we learn today? we learned today, and this will be like my mid-daf summary. Right, we're closer to the end. So, but anyway, what did we learn today? So we learned today that as far as an aman is concerned, so they worked and instituted on how an amana can collect her ksuba. Okay, they wouldn't allow her to make a shua. Why not? We went over that. So, but what the takana Rabbi Gamliel was that we learned back in the Mishnah is that in lieu of a shua, she can make a neder. Okay, and then we did go over that there was a tkufa. There was a period of time where they didn't even allow her to make a neder. That was during the period of Rav. But outside of that, an amana would be able to collect her collect her ksuva. What about a grusha? So by a grusha, the only way a grusha can collect her ksuva is only via shvua, but nothing else. Nothing else would allow her to collect her ksuva. What we're bothered by is that we just went over a story, and in the story, we just learned together that a grusha made a neder in order to collect her ksuva. Now, wait one second. We have been assuming multiple times in today's daf that this allowance to collect ksuva using only neder, not shvua, that's only for an amana, not for a grusha. So the story obviously is troubling. Amar Rav Ashi, hahu get yivam memhava. So Rav Ashi says, I'm going to fill in the detail with that story. That story does not pose a difficulty. I know it says grusha, but the truth of the matter is she's a widow. So why is she described as a grusha? Because she received the get yavam. Now what's a get yavam? So it's complicated. Okay, so I'll do this in short order, and that is that if a woman is, let's say she's a widow and she died childless, so we know there's now a mitzvah of yibum. In the mitzvah of Yibum, so any one of the remaining brothers can now marry her to perform the mitzvah of Yibum. Okay, good. Now, even though if they don't want to do Yibum, and in order to release her, so they'll do Chalitza, but if one of them writes and issues a get, so that will be effective mid-derabbanan. There's an entire parak, multiple parakim in Yavamos that discusses this idea. Okay, if you're holding, great. If not, it's complicated, and I'm giving the simpler version. I'm simplifying right now. Anyway, what the get does is that it then prohibits her from being able to do yibum with any one of the brothers, not the one that issued the get, and not the other brothers as well. It passels her. Okay, so over here she's being described as a grusha only in the sense that she wasn't amana, she was eligible for yibum, and one of the yavams issued to her a get. In that regard, she is a grusha. But the truth of the matter is, really, she's an almana. Okay, it's that simple. Okay, let's do a little bit more for today. Hikin Rambam Gamliel Azakin Shetein Oderes. Okay, so Amar Rav Huna Loshana Ola B'Shalo Nisei. So Val Nisei Se Madir Nosa. So the Takana Rambam Gamliel was is that in order for an almana to be able to collect her ksuva, so in lieu of the fact that she can't make a shvua, she'll make a neder. That's what we learned in our Mishnah. That's our singular point of today. Now over here, a limitation. Meaning, even though Rabbi Gamliel made a takana, but here's where she won't be able to make a neder. She became a widow. Okay? She moved on in her life. She got remarried. Now, she never collected her ksuva. She's entitled. She's owed a ksuva. But now, even though Rabbi Gamliel allowed her to make a neder in order to collect her shvua, now she can't. Why not? It's actually really simple. Because she's married. And now, what's going to happen when she makes a neder? Now, she's got a husband who could just simply say, hey, what happened? You made a neder today? He's made for the neder. Oh. And so therefore the neder is not going to do anything because the husband's now in a position where he can be made for it. And the husband's ability to be made for has nothing to do with why she made the neder. He can just simply be made for the neder. So and the Gemara says exactly this. Nisa is my time de mefer la ba. So Kiloni says, Nami lechim insava mefer la ba and ba mefer bekodman. So the Gemara says, well, if that's what you're worried about, how about the following? How about before she gets remarried, she'll make the neder. And then when she does get married, the husband will be made for it. But the Gemara answers very simply. No, that's a historical neder. And we've gone over this point numerous times in Nedarim, and we get to say it over again today's daf, and that is the husband can't do that. The only Nedarim that the husband has ownership over that he can be made for is only the Nedarim that are made post-marriage. So the Gemara says, okay, so I hear you now. If she's married, she won't be able to make the neder because the husband will be made for the neder. But wait one second. You just got me thinking, says the Gemara. So even if she doesn't get married, why doesn't she just go to a chacham and allow for hataras nedarim? So the Gemara says, kasavar tzarech lefartas aneder. So the Gemara says, because our Mishnah is of the position that when she goes to the chacham is going to ask him a really simple question. What happened? Can you explain to me exactly why you made the neder? Let me hear why you made the neder. Tzarech lefarit es haneder. Now, Rav Nachman Amar afilu nises, nises vade mefer labal, so the majrin le barabim. Now, Rav Nachman disagrees with Rav Huna. Rav Nachman's of the position that even upon marriage, so what the almana can go ahead and make a neder in order to collect that past debt, that past debt, that past ksuba. So the Gemara says, well, I don't understand. Can't the husband be mefer? So Rav Nachman says, yeah, I see the problem, but I also have the solution. Madrin le barabim. She'll make a neder barabim, a public neder.
How's that solution?
The Rav Nachman is of the position that a public neder is impervious to a farah. Okay, so meisvei. So now the Gemara is going to be challenging. So far, what do we have? We have the Takana Rabbi Gamliel that a widow can go ahead and collect her ksuva by making a neder. She can't make a shvua, but she'll be allowed to make a neder. And now a discussion amongst the Amoraim, Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, in terms of what if she never collected her ksuva, but she got remarried. Is she now in a position where she can make a neder or no? So Rav Huna takes what seems to be a really reasonable position. I say reasonable, by the way. I understand there's this issue about her not having received her ksuva. But it seems to take a reasonable position that, well, after she's married, if she makes a neder, husband can be mefer. There's no longer any teeth to that neder. That's Rav Huna. And Rav Nachman says, no, I disagree. Why? Because Rav Nachman's of the position that once we have a maker neder, barabim, so then the husband can't be made for such a neder. Meisvei. The Gemara challenges. The Gemara right now is challenging on Rav Huna. Nises govik suvasa. Im nadra. So my love, the nadra. Hashtar lo, the nadra mikara. So the Gemara quotes the Brisa says that we have the widow, she got remarried, she'll make a neder, she'll collect her ksuva. That is sounding exactly like Rav Nachman, that is against Rav Huna. So Rav Huna will explain the Brisa, he'll touch the Brisa. What is the Brisa talking about? Nadra mikara. She made a neder, but she made the neder before she got remarried. I know that's not the simple pshat of the Brisa, but it's a doch, it's a dichui, it's a way of defending Rav Huna. V'atanya niseis noderes v'govik suvasa. So the Gemara says, okay, but meanwhile, here I have another Brisa. There's no wiggle room around this Brisa. This Brisa is super clear. She's an Amana. She got remarried. She made a neder. She collected her past ksuva. So, no, right, Niseis noderes v'govik suvasa tanaihi. So what Rav Huna will tell you is, okay, it's a machlokes tanaim. Ika lamanda amar neder shuda barabim yesh lo afara, v'ika lamanda amar ein lo afara. This issue of a neder barabim, can the husband be mefer? It's a machlokes tanaim. Okay, we'll pause over here. Ibai lehu tzarech lefarites haneder. Okay, we will pause at this point in time as to whether or not a person has to specify and clarify why they made a neder. Okay, and we'll pick it up tomorrow. Let's recap today. So we did the Mishnah on Lamed Aleph Beis, and the Mishnah gave us three takanas that were made. Right, the takana number one issued by Rabbi Gamliel, and again this is the theme of the fourth perek. Various takanas that were made by Chach Yisrael, obviously Tanaim. We're learning Mishnah, so obviously they're Tanaim. So, and the Takanas are Rabbi Gamliel. So back in the beginning of the Perek Lamed Beis, we went over Takana number one, and now we're going over other Takanas. Most of them are divorce related, right? Obviously, we're learning Gittin. But in a moment, however, in tomorrow's daf, we're going to make the big turn. And that is, we're going to go from Takanas that are divorce related, and we're going to go to Takanas, general Takanas. Tomorrow's daf, Prusbol, where it's coming up in tomorrow's daf, we discussed it. We mentioned it in the Mishnah, and we're going to discuss it in more detail tomorrow. Anyway, what today's daf all revolved around one takana, the takana Rabbi Gamliel. A amana, in order for her to collect her ksuva, has to make a shvua. Any creditor coming and collecting from the estate has to make a shvua, amana included. The Gemara outlines in the beginning of today's daf, I might have thought that maybe the Chachamim would have given her a pass based on the fact that chayin, we want the institution of marriage to be attractive to women. That's Rashi's understanding of chayin. That's the way we presented it this morning. And so therefore, I might have thought we are giving her a pass. She does not get a pass. She must make a shvua in order to collect her ksuva. However, the Chachamim did not allow her to make a shvua. Why not? So because she's a widow. She's taking care of the children. She's in to the point where she can easily justify and rationalize, magiali, I'm entitled. So they didn't allow her to make a shvua. But they didn't allow her to make a shvua. So how is she going to collect ksuva? That's a problem. Okay, so for the solution to the problem, so what the Chachamim did, what Rabbi Gamliel did in his court, is they allowed her to make a neder. Okay, and over the course of today's daf, all we discussed, it was one issue, but obviously occupied all of our attention today, and that is this takana, Rabbi Gamliel. of her allowance to make a neder. Right? In the Amud Aleph of today's daf, we went over an unfortunate period of history where neder was not an avenue. In other words, Shavuot was not an avenue that we knew already, but neder also wasn't an avenue as well. The tekufa of Rav and his Talmidim, so they didn't allow a widow to collect her ksuva, not using shvua, not using even a neder as well. Rav Yehuda, on the other hand, disagreed. Rav Yehuda said, no, we're going to go back to the Takana Rav and Gamaliel. We're going to allow her to collect her ksuva using the mechanism of a neder. Okay, that was most of the Amud Aleph. Then on the bottom of Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, so we went over this distinction regarding Amana versus Grusha. Meaning when it comes to a Grusha, so obviously she also has a ksuva she's entitled to collect. So for the Grusha, what we'll allow her to do is we'll allow her to make a Shvua. So the Gemara says, is that in fact so? So the Gemara quoted a story, and the Gemara went ahead and explained the story. The story is not problematic. In other words, that distinction is true. Okay, and on the Amud Beis, so Rabbi Gamliel's Takana to allow her to collect her ksuva using a neder. So that is true, but only up to a point. Well, this is a debatable point. Only up to a point, and that is up to the point where she gets remarried. But once she gets remarried, and now she's got a new husband, so that husband has hafara ability, so now we can't allow her to make a neder. Why? Because the husband can be made for the neder. Is that true? So Rav Huna would say that's correct. What I just said is correct. On the other hand, Rav Nachman says no. What we'll allow her to do is that we'll allow her, even in her remarried state, to go and make a neder berabim. And then, this is a point of contention, it is a controversial point, but Rav Nachman takes the position that a neder berabim, impervious to hafara. Husband can't be mefer a neder berabim. Rav Huna obviously disagrees with that very point. And then the Gemara says that could be a machlokas tanaim as well. Adkan.